Good morning and welcome to your Wednesday edition of Bobcat Radio. I'm your host, Ishmael Johnson, here in the studio. We got a different lineup change. Me and Kirk are here. What's up, Kirk?
How's it going, Ish? How's everybody doing?
Doing good, man. We got a new person in the studio. Warren's out and Otis is out. This is the week that Otis will be off. We got Bradley Maddox. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you guys doing? I'm excited to get my inaugural Bobcat Radio in and under the books.
Yeah, man. It's going to be a fun show. We're just going to chill here, relax, talk some sports. There's a few ways you can listen to us. You can listen to us online at ktsw.net. You can listen to us with the Texas State app on your phone, your cellular device. It's a big button that really just says play, and it's pretty easy. Can't get easier than that. Or you can listen on terrestrial radio. You know that thing your grandma and grandpa won't stop talking about when they're telling you about the good old days? That's terrestrial radio right in your car, or if you're old school and have one right next to your fireplace, crank it to 89.9. Listen to us as well. Or if you're listening to us right now, you're probably doing one of those three things already, so that works too. So we got the name drop segment coming up. Also, before I get into that, there's also a way you can get involved with the show. If you have a fact that you want to correct us on, or an interesting fact about something we're talking about, or if you have a question for us, you can hit us up on our Twitter account. That is at KTSW Sports. Again, at KTSW Sports, all one word. If it's a good enough fact or an interesting fact, a good enough question, we'll talk about it, possibly give you a shout-out on the air. Again, if you want to hit us up, that is at KTSW Sports on Twitter. Now, we're going to get started with the name drop segment like we traditionally do here. My name drop, a little bit of a melancholy, somber one. It was going to be, because I'm the wrestling guy, it was going to be Undertaker and Daniel Bryan. Because, like I said, I'm a wrestling guy, so WrestleMania just happened, the biggest weekend in wrestling sport, in wrestling entertainment. It was going to be Daniel Bryan winning the title, Undertaker streak coming to a loss. But last night, unfortunately, Ultimate Warrior, Brian Helwig, who legally changed his name to Warrior, by the way, that's how in love he was with his character. Passed away at the age of 54 last night. The initial reports right now just say that he collapsed to heading to his car in Arizona. But the reason why this comes as a huge shock is because he was just on Monday Night Raw the night before. I believe there was also a picture of him taking a picture with a fan at an airport that morning. So like he seemed perfectly fine. Everybody remembers Ultimate Warrior for his feuds with Hulk Hogan, you know, his quick rise to fame. He was the energetic guy that just, he sprints to the ring every time. He was a bodybuilder. He trained with the same guy that trained Sting, another fan favorite of people. And he was just one of those iconic figures of the 80s, that golden era of wrestling. And what I thought was really cool was the SportsCenter, their Twitter account, tweeted out, rest in peace to the Ultimate Warrior, one of the all-time legends. And I thought that was really cool because, you know, ESPN kind of distances themselves, as they should. They're not the same industries, right? Sports entertainment and pure sport. So, so I thought that was really cool that they still gave him a shout-out because that was a lot of people's childhoods.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I agree. I mean, SportsCenter, you never really see much wrestling, but that's kind of cool. I think that kind of attests to how big the story was that ESPN took their time to tweet about it on the Twitter page.
Yeah.
You see the power of entertainment that a guy like Ultimate Warrior brought to WWE, and for SportsCenter to address it, that's great. And I saw a tweet from Hulk Hogan this morning even giving the Ultimate Warrior shout out saying, like, rest in peace, brother. The feud is over. You're in heaven. It's just great to see guys like that who are in that golden era, like you talked about, coming together to celebrate his life.
Yeah, and some of the things that before this past year, he was actually kind of realistically feuding with the WWE. They released a DVD called The Self-Destruction of the Ultimate Warrior, which was pretty much a slander of his character. Like they said, it was talking about his rise, his 80s, and then it talked about like how difficult he was to work with. He wasn't involved with the DVD at all, and it hurt him. And so He made a Twitter account that pretty much bashed Hulk Hogan, pretty much bashed the company, legitimately bashing him, not like in WWE sense of a script, but he was legitimately going after the company. And, you know, this past year he made amends. He got inducted to the Hall of Fame over the weekend. And like I said, he spoke in Monday Night Raw, and I want to read a little bit of his excerpt from his speech, which was actually really eerie looking back on it. Quote, "No WWE talent becomes a legend on their own. Every man's heart one day beats its final beat. His lungs breathe their final breath, and if that man did in his life what makes the blood pulse through the body of others and makes them bleed deeper and something larger than life, than his essence, his spirit will be immortalized." And he goes on to conclude, "so much so that you will tell your stories and you will make them legends as well. Ultimate. You are the Ultimate Warrior fans, and the spirit of Ultimate Warrior will run forever."
That's kind of That's crazy.
That is.
It's almost kind of like you might... Something might be behind it. Yeah, exactly. I hate to think
I know,
like that.
Exactly, right?
It's, something could have, like, I don't know. That's kind of weird. That kind of played into all that, all those sequence of events lining up.
I mean, yeah. We'll see, obviously, when more information comes out. But that was just, you know, that kind of stopped sports. Not really wrestling, but just stopped sports last night for, like, a few minutes. So
definitely. All right, well, my name drop is going to be Dirk Nowitzki.
Okay.
He passed Oscar Robertson for 10th all-time on the scoring list. With 21 points. He needs 17 to pass him, and that's huge, I think, for Dirk. You know, a guy that's kind of your unconventional player, you know, is a seven-footer that can shoot anywhere on the court. And I think he's got 26,710 points now. Has a shot at the top five in scoring. Yeah. I definitely think that, you know, and he stayed with one team, and he's been loyal to that one team, and has had several shout-outs saying that he'd like to stay with the Mavericks for the rest of his career. But Dirk is... You know, a great player. I think one of the greats of all time and a first ballot Hall of Famer for sure.
Oh, yeah. When you look back on this era, you're going to think of Dirk. You're going to think of Duncan, obviously, Kobe. And, I mean, those three guys, they're getting older. But they're like, I guess you can say they're the last of that era, that 90s, early or late 90s, early 2000s era. And it's been great to see Dirk continue to still nail that one-footed, wrong-footed fadeaway jumper in the eye of anyone.
Yeah, you look at Nowitzki and the way he did it last night. I think he went 9-for-12. Just epitomizes his career. He's so efficient, and you talked about that fadeaway shot. I think there's going to be a statue outside of the Dallas Stadium up there of him shooting that fadeaway off the glass or just swishing it. Man, it's such a pretty shot.
It better be. I mean, because you see, every time somebody does a one-legged fadeaway, they're saying they're doing the Dirk.
Yeah,
like
right.
KD does that a couple times now. They're like, oh, he's doing the Dirk shot. You know,
I've seen Kobe do it a few times, too. Kobe's always, and he's even come out and say, you know, I try to emulate what he does because it works so well for him. So that's I'd like to see that in front of American Airlines Center.
That'd be a nice statue, man.
Like, yeah, like the Michael Jordan dunk in front of in Chicago.
Hey, he pretty much built that American Airlines for Mark Cuban and them. What's weird about it, not weird, but what's been consistent about him is – the Mavericks haven't, like, they've changed coaches, they've changed players, and he's been the staple.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think of who's the longest tenured Maverick right now.
There's not one team except for him and Sean Marion that was on that 2011 team that won the championship.
Yeah, so I mean, and Sean Marion has, I mean, he's been a Maverick for a couple years now, but like,
yeah,
he's not a long tenured Maverick. He's
you could say he's like a son almost.
Yeah,
like
he's with
Phoenix.
Yeah,
so.
Son, Heat, or a Raptor.
Yeah,
even. Like,
whatever you want.
But yeah, he's kept it consistent. They made the playoffs. Year in year, I think last year was the first year in a while that they didn't make it. And I don't know, it was very, very cool to see Dirk still continuing.
Yeah, you look at Dirk and the ability for the Mavericks to make the playoffs again this year. Really no superstars surrounding him. You got Jose Calderon, he's doing all right this season, but Dirk carries that team year in and year out like you were talking about. And I don't think people realize even that they're fighting for that eighth seed in the West. I think they can make some noise if you watch out for them. Dirk's always going to be up for the challenge in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I mean, I was going to say Monte Ellis, too. I mean, that game, and he had made some really great plays. And he's, if you look at his, I guess if you compare him when he was in Milwaukee to where he is now, he said he's having more fun playing with his team. So
yeah, if you trade Brandon Jennings for Dirk Nowitzki, I think you're bound to have more fun because
you actually touch
the ball. So
right,
that's right. Yeah, my name drop this week is Kevin McHale, the coach of the Rockets. The Hall of Famer's done a tremendous job lately with the Rockets. You know, you lose Patrick Beverley to a torn meniscus, and Dwight still recovering from that sprained ankle, and they went through three straight losses, to playoff bound squads, but. You know, they've really rebounded as of late. They've won three straight. That first win in that streak against OKC, a huge win. They have been swept, and OKC's really had their number. I think they're like 9-2 against the Rockets the last three seasons. So, McHale's just done an incredible job putting together the squad. Jeremy Lin's having a start, and Omer Asik back in the starting lineup, you know. I still can't believe nobody dealt for Asik at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
He's putting up 15 and 16 boards in this streak, putting up 12 points a night, and it just really surprises me that nobody picked him up, and now Kevin McHale, I feel like, is doing a great job as of late.
Yeah, it seems like Asik would turn a lot of teams into, I mean, he's not like a crazy offensive player, but like a lot of teams need that anchor down low. Like, you look at OKC, like OKC could have dealt, you know, somebody, I don't know who, but if you put Asik on that team down low with Ibaka, are you kidding me? Like that's a tandem that you can't mess with.
Go ahead.
But he can't, you know, they can't I'm just trying to think of other teams. Like, there's other teams that need that defensive presence that just don't have it, or rebounding presence even.
I just think, if my opinion was that the Rockets may have been asking for too much.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
that's kind of what it was, because, you heard Rondo was thrown in there with the Celtics.
Yeah, that's true.
I just think that Oshik is not that – he's a great player, and he's great defensively, and he can rebound, but I just don't know. I think they were asking a little too much for him.
It didn't help that he was getting a lot of DMPs from McHale at the time. So, like, because I think they were, like, you know, there was some rift between him and the front office. So, like, Daryl Morey was, like, trying to, like, pretty much making him, like, pushing him out in the front, saying, hey, you're available for trade, and trying to make it – a big thing, and then he was getting DMPs, and other teams were like, you're asking for a lot for a guy that doesn't play. So
he's going 3 or 4 weeks, and all they were saying was a deep thigh bruise. They're like, man, you got to be able to get out there on a thigh bruise. Come on, oh, shit.
There's something more than that.
Man. Yeah, but it was just, it's fun. It's been fun watching this team lately. I don't know if you saw the game last night. It was a late game on TNT. The Rockets won 145-130 over the Lakers. They set the record this season for the highest scoring team in the league, 145 points. I know it's against the Lakers, but you're talking about a 49-point third quarter.
Oh, man.
That's some teams have. That's what I have, man.
Yeah.
It was just incredible to watch.
That's a Pacer half.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my goodness. That's ridiculous.